We're back sooner than you thought. I'm Matt Wells with the shock news that Channel 4 is dumping its digital radio plans.
It was taken as a decision with some reluctance, but we've got to balance the book somehow and make tough choices in cutting our cloth.
Chief Executive Andy Duncan tells Media Talk why he was forced to pull the plug. So, is it all over for digital radio? What's the impact on the BBC? And what does it mean for listeners?
There's no doubt about it. In our office today, we're feeling a little bit down about this.
This is a special edition of Media Talk from The Guardian. It's all over. Channel 4 has announced that it's to pull out of its digital radio project. The broadcaster blamed the global economic meltdown for the decision. 15 staff are likely to lose their jobs, but the implications are far wider than that. The whole future of DAB digital radio in Britain is thrown into doubt. Make no mistake, this is a big story, and we've got the big names, including Andy Duncan, the chief executive of Channel 4. Our panel for this Media Talk special is Janine Gibson, editor-in-chief of Media Guardian. Shock news, Janine?
Well, no, in all honesty. In a word, this has been coming for a long time.
Absolutely. Our radio correspondent, John Plunkett, has been hitting the phones today. Is the radio industry surprised?
I think a lot of them saw it coming and they're putting a brave face on it, but I don't know if that brave face cracks on closer inspection.
Okay, well, we'll hear more from Janine and John shortly. We'll also be talking to the Digital Radio Development Bureau and a leading independent producer. But first, let's go to the top and hear from Andy Duncan, the chief executive of Channel 4. I asked him first to explain the decision.
Well, it's a decision taken with enormous frustration and reluctance, I have to say, but one that we feel we've been left with no choice in. Ultimately, I think the root cause of it is the current economic downturn, and both in terms of Channel 4's ability to invest in radio as a venture at this time, and indeed for the rest of the commercial radio industry, it's just proved impossible to justify the short-term investment, even though we still believe in the medium to long-term, it would be a very valuable new profit stream.
Isn't it just a convenient excuse to blame the current economic downturn for getting out of something that was looking dodgy for some time?
No, quite the opposite, actually. I mean, our plans have been coming together extremely well, and we've got a very good team in place, and an E4 radio, which was earmarked to be launched next spring, is shaping up extremely well. So I think it's doubly frustrating that just at the time, creatively, the plans are coming together. A combination of effectively the rest of the industry saying they're not in a position to launch new radio stations, and our own really tough priority making in terms of cuts we're having to make, just meant for the foreseeable future it's not tenable. And in those circumstances, we thought it best to be completely clear and announce our complete withdrawal.
How much money have you lost on this now?
I think it's no precise figure at this stage. I mean, it will be a few million pounds that's been invested. I think any new business venture obviously involves risk, considerably less than we've invested in a number of other areas over the years. And obviously, we've successfully invested in digital channels like E4, Film4, More4 that are making a strong profit now. But there will be obviously some costs that have been incurred that we'd have to write off at this stage.
Hasn't this been an unnecessary waste of time and money? Because when you started off on this route, the radio ad market was already faltering.
No, quite the opposite. I think in terms of new business investment, the amounts of money involved here are relatively modest. I think we've done this in good faith. I think it remains a very strong opportunity in the medium to long term. But unfortunately, a combination of the conditions affecting the rest of the radio industry and our own revenue shortfall just means getting through the short-term investment cycle of the next 18 months is too problematic.
But it's not just a problem for you, is it? I mean, there's all sorts of people, independent production companies, who had a lot riding on this. It's not just you that loses a bit of money. Quite the whole DAB proposition is looking pretty shaky now.
Well, clearly the BBC is strongly in DAB still. There's Digital One with available slots for anyone that wants to launch radio services. So I'm sure DAB will find a way to move forward. I think it's a sign of the times, though. I think we are on uncharted waters in terms of unprecedented economic difficulty, and I do think it's a sort of just a reminder to everybody that these are very tough times indeed, and we've got to cut our plans by £50 million next year somehow. And unfortunately, having taken a lot of money out already this year with programming and marketing and new media, there aren't too many places left to go. So I think it was taken as a decision with some reluctance, but we've got to balance the book somehow and make tough choices in cutting our cloth.
What happens to your program director, Bob Shannon?
Well, I'm not going to comment on any one individual. We've had a lot of talented people who've been working in the organisation. There's about 15 people at the moment who are affected by this.
And more people who handed in their notice already at the BBC who haven't joined yet, I understand.
No, about 15 people in total who are affected. I think we've got two people who are recruited but haven't yet joined, but everyone else is already here. Clearly, we will be talking to them individually about next steps wherever possible.
But it was a pretty bad move for them to have given up long careers in the BBC when they joined. Already, there was speculation about whether Channel 4 Radio would continue at all. I mean, this is not just something that's happened now.
Well, no, it is something that's just happened now. We very clearly had a plan to launch radio stations, in particular E4 Radio, starting next spring. Everyone who's working here at the moment is working on E4 Radio. This decision is absolutely about the short-term downturn in revenue. But very specifically, we will obviously treat everyone as fairly as we possibly can. And as you know, we're going through a wider staff consultation process about the loss of 150 jobs across the organisation to save money, given the revenue downturn, and obviously the radio staff will be treated in exactly the same way as everyone else.
Well,
as part of that
say,
wider process.
Given that, it's unlikely that you're going to absorb these people into the wider Channel 4 group, are you? You're trying to get rid of people.
Overall, we're looking to reduce numbers. Clearly, where some people were in the middle of a voluntary redundancy program, where some people are volunteering for redundancy, but we want to keep that post, there will be some opportunity to redeploy. So we're hoping some of the staff affected will be able to be redeployed. Clearly, in other cases, that won't be possible.
Doesn't all this raise questions about the judgment of the board of Channel 4? I mean, launching a whole new multiplex and the enormous expense that was going to go into that at a time when there was uncertainty over the future of digital radio, that has to have been a questionable decision, doesn't it?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think quite the opposite. I think we've very successfully tried to broaden our revenue base over the last few years. In particular, the digital channels have been a big success. Our joint venture with Bauer with the Box TV venture is going well so far. And obviously, part of our self-help agenda, if you like, from to try and manage our own financial affairs, has been about cost cutting in terms of efficiencies of staff, but also about investing in new ventures that can make a profit stream. I still believe DAB could be a very successful profit stream for us for the future, but getting around the short-term issues, particularly when the rest of the industry are also not in a position to invest, is very difficult. And I don't think we or Ofcom or anyone else foresaw this economic downturn a couple of years ago, and it's absolutely to do with that. The strategic logic is as sound as ever, and I think actually one of the frustrations here is the multi-platform vision that has been so successfully received in Next on 4, and I still think is very much the direction we're heading in. One part of it, the radio part of it, sadly won't be there. But I think more generally, the direction of travel that the board is going in is absolutely the right one.
Could you help us with some technical question about what happens to the licence now? Do you just hand it back? What happens to 4 Digital Group, all that sort of thing?
No, I think to be completely clear, the decision that we've taken, which is absolutely ours alone to take, is that we won't be launching 4 branded radio stations. The decision that we will need to discuss with our partners is what happens in terms of 4 Digital Group. So already that consultation process with our partners has started. Obviously, during the course of today, we're having those conversations, and I think it will become clear in the days and weeks ahead what 4 Digital Group decides to do, and indeed what some of our partners decide to do, in conjunction, I think, with Ofcom and government. So clearly, it's a difficult time for radio industry as a whole. It's a difficult time for digital radio in particular. I think it will have a strong future, but the specific plans about what happens next will need to be discussed over the days and weeks ahead.
How much will this pullout contribute to the savings that you want to make at Channel 4?
Well, very specifically, the costs that we would have incurred had we gone ahead could have been as high as up to £10 million next year. I mean, that's modest compared to some of the investments we made in some of our digital channel investments, but nonetheless substantial. And so it will make a meaningful contribution to some of the cuts we've had to cut next year. The frustration is that if we're not investing in new business like this in the next year, that means we're not getting the profit stream in subsequent years. But certainly in the short term, it will save us somewhere between £5 and £10 million next year of investment we've otherwise incurred.
How are the prospects looking more generally for Channel 4? It's looking pretty bleak at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I would say that actually the last few weeks have been quite depressing in terms of a general direction of travel in terms of the global economy. I think we can all see a recession coming. Clearly, the prospects for TV ad revenue in 08 have worsened, and indeed the TV prospects for TV ad revenue in 09 have worsened. I think it all points to the need for urgent decisions, and I was very pleased that Andy Burnham made this point very clearly in the speech to the RTS a couple of weeks ago, that the government now understand this, and they do intend to announce decisions early in the new year. And I have to say, it's absolutely not a time for dithering. It is a time for action. And I think it is extremely important that some clear decisions and certainty for Channel 4's future are made in the months ahead.
Andy Duncan. So where does this leave digital radio in Britain? I suggested to Tony Moretta, the chief executive of the Digital Radio Development Bureau, that it's the end of the road for DAB.
No, it certainly isn't. I think, you know, while it's a shame that we won't be seeing E4 radio next year, at the end of the day, it was one station, and DAB has been a consumer success story without Channel 4. And I guess we understand the issues Channel 4 faces in the rest of its business. Not a great surprise, but I'm confident that DAB will continue to see the growth that it's been showing in the past.
Well, it's not just one station, is it? Because Channel 4 was going to be a network of stations, a multiplex even, and it's a huge blow. And it's not the only station that's gone by the board. Now, the only national commercial digital station that's not also available on analogue is Planet Rock.
Well, I think you see, it's a good sign. You've seen that Planet Rock have just agreed a new long-term deal with Digital One, which shows you that people still see a future for national digital radio stations that, as you say, are just digital.
Yeah, but the future for DAB can't turn on one station, though, can it?
Well, no, but if you look at the fact, even without these new stations, we've seen that almost 30% of households have a digital radio. If you listen to the BBC, you get twice the number of stations. You get a lot of commercial stations.
But is it right, do you think, that in essence, that the BBC should prop up a platform that's not commercially viable?
I don't think the BBC are propping up a platform. I think the BBC...
Well, without the BBC, you'd be nowhere.
Well, I think, as I said, there are a lot of commercial radio stations out there on local and regional multiplexes. It's not just the national multiplex. I think you will find that there are a number of people who have been in the Four Digital Consortium who will go ahead and they will still launch their own new digital radio stations over the coming months and years, etc. And I think in some ways, Channel 4 making their position clear today will allow the rest of the industry to get on and develop their own services and sort out their future.
What's next now for digital radio in the UK? What are you guys going to get up to now?
Well, as I said, you know, sales are still growing. If we look at the key Christmas period coming up, because Christmas last year, we sold just in November and December 800,000 digital radios. This year, we're going to see the first unified marketing campaign across the BBC and commercial radio, with significant support going into that.
But Channel 4 pulled out of that now, so it's possible that this message might say to consumers it's not worth buying a digital radio this Christmas.
Well, no, as I said, you know, Channel 4 don't actually have any stations running, and they were going to launch one station next week. There's still a strong lineup. People are still buying digital radios. There's going to be a strong marketing message that this Christmas DAB radios represent a very high value but affordable Christmas gift, and we expect to see strong sales this Christmas. And actually, the retailers and manufacturers are expecting stronger sales this Christmas than last Christmas. And as I said, that's not the case in a lot of other sectors right now.
Well, good luck to you. I think you might need it.
Media Talk with Matt Wells on Guardian.co.uk.
Now, listen, I was mocked when I suggested to Channel 4's digital supremo Natalie Schwartz on a panel at the Guardian's own digital radio conference earlier this year that C4 Radio would never launch in its original form. But now, not only that, Janine, it's not going to launch at all.
No, well, you know, we've got to be slightly wary of spending this entire Media Talk special going, we were so right about this and they were all wrong. But it is absolutely true that we were all right about this and they were wrong. It became... OK, so let's separate this out. The initial strategic thought that Andy Duncan had, which was, I will shore up Channel 4's position as a public service provider by moving into speech radio and providing something to keep the BBC honest, in fact, if you like, was not a bad strategy. That was a reasonable strategic plan. It gave Channel 4 momentum. It consolidated his position after Big Brother, actually. It was a real, this is part of the new remit for Channel 4. Of course, almost as soon as he made that strategic decision, the radio industry started to collapse really fast, and digital radio especially started to look very wobbly for reasons that we'll go into shortly. But for, I mean, a good year now, it has felt very unlikely that they would actually launch anything. You remember they started to row back first on the sort of Radio 4 type thing. Yes, the Channel 4 Radio 4.
Yeah.
Because they took one look at it and thought, A, it's going to be phenomenally costly, and B, how would you ever do anything that would actually hit that mark of quality from a startup with a smaller budget and so on? So we were already whittled down to a sort of man in a basement playing some records, at which point you think, this strategy hasn't really worked for commercial radio, has it? Let alone new digital stations, which are already having terrible trouble punching through and so on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is disastrous for quite a lot of people. And, you know, there are 15 people lost their jobs, and some of them very senior people in the industry.
Who gave up distinguished careers at the BBC, some of them.
Bob Shannon, obviously, had a very distinguished career at the
Alex
BBC.
Alex Jones Donnelly, all these people.
All these people who have gone in good faith. And I don't suppose there is any bit of Andy Duncan that lets go of this lightly. You know, that you knock Andy down, he comes back up again, and he will have, you know, really clung on to this for as long as possible.
Well, John, this is the interesting thing, because it does look as if increasingly in the last few months, Andy Duncan and Natalie Schwartz were in a minority of two on that board.
That's right. I think some people are saying, why didn't they pull back earlier on? Because it's been surrounded in uncertainty for so long. I mean, we've already lost Channel 4 Radio, which is the speech service. We'd lost Pure 4, which was a music service, and E4 Music, which is the one station that was going to launch next year, which was a music and entertainment service.
That had been put back.
That had been put back to April next year, and the original stations were supposed to launch in July. Yeah. That's just gone. So we've lost that. We've also it also throws into uncertainty the whole future of the second digital multiplex, in which Channel 4 was the majority shareholder. And on that multiplex, their partners were due to launch a range of services like TalkSport. We're going to launch Talk Radio. Bauer Radio were due to launch a spin-off of Closer Magazine. Sky News, we're going to launch Sky News Radio. So all those services, not necessarily dead in the water right now, but they're certainly hugely uncertain.
All right, we'll get on to what happens next shortly. But Janine, what do you think was going on in the board? We heard Andy Duncan there saying that the reason for getting out of this now was the economic downturn. Is that a plausible explanation?
No, it isn't. I mean, and Andy can say till he's blue in the face, and will, based on past experience, that it was absolutely the deciding factor and that everything was looking fine until this point. We all know it wasn't. I don't think there was anybody at board level that really thought this was going to be a viable way for Channel 4 to invest already diminishing resources.
Particularly the non-executive directors.
Particularly, of course, the non-exec directors, because they were the people that have the perspective. You know, there is a bit of Channel 4 always that has BBC envy and thinks we can just be like the BBC and we should do what they do. And that's a reasonable strategy in good times when you're awash with money and you can have a look at launching new services. And as I say, the initial concept for Channel 4 Radio was not a terrible idea, but you've got to be fleeter of foot than this. They really could have made this decision a year ago.
And it does mean now that the whole digital radio project is in some doubt, John, because as you were saying, these are a lot of names that are now out of the picture, and you've only got the BBC propping up, as I was saying to Tony Moretta, it's only the BBC that is propping up what now seems to be a commercially unviable project.
That's right, yes. There's in fact only one national digital radio station that's not already available on analog radio, which is Planet Rock, which is doing sterling work, but one national station alone isn't going to push a platform any further down the line. I think now the second multiplex probably won't happen because Channel 4 is withdrawn.
But you just wonder why more intelligent and higher paid people than us were saying for a long time, including not least the people who ran the first national digital multiplex, that it was a bad idea to advertise the second one in the first place, and that's Ofcom's fault.
Yeah, that's right. Well, up to 4 years ago, Ralph Bernard and then GCAT Media, which runs as the majority shareholder in Digital One, which is the original multiplex, said to Ofcom, don't launch this this second multiplex. We'll have too much capacity. And even though they're probably reluctant to say, I told you so, they turned out to be right. And Digital One itself has got into huge trouble, as we know, because Channel 4 came along and suddenly there was a rival multiplex which people could use, operators could use to drive down prices.
Have we heard from Ralph Bernard at all?
I believe he's on holiday in Thailand.
I think you need to get on to him. Now, listen, one group of people that will be hit by this is the independent radio production sector. I asked Steve Ackerman, the managing director of Something Else, what the impact on him would be.
I suppose the initial impact is one that here was a potential new client and someone who was quite overtly promising a significant amount of commissions with independents. So In that sense, we clearly made plans and provisions and expectations of how that might affect us over the coming 12 months.
And presumably you've been working on ideas and stuff in development, I guess.
Yeah, we have to an extent. Mm. Certainly when Channel 4 first announced their plans, there was a lot of flurry of activity. In recent months, we hadn't been so busy because we'd been waiting for a commissioning meeting that was happening next week. So.
Which is now not going to happen. I mean, I was going to ask you, did you get any indications that this was coming, or has it just been business as usual?
No, none at all. I think along with the rest of the industry, we knew it was pretty much common knowledge that the multiplex wasn't going to launch. And obviously, we'd heard the news a few weeks ago. And again, I think it was pretty much common knowledge that maybe some of the later stations that were going to launch were clearly looking a little bit hazy.
But as for E4 Radio?
E4 Radio, as recently as a couple of days ago, we still had a very strong expectation that was launching. And as I say, we were going to a briefing meeting next week, expecting to then be coming up with some great ideas.
What do you think it means for digital radio, and in particular for creatively for programs and listeners?
Well, from a creative perspective, I think it's a big blow. There's no doubt about it that the sorts of programming ideas Channel 4 were talking about would have been very creatively exciting. And
what sort of things were in the pipeline?
Well, I think there was a real desire to create programming that really weaved between radio and the internet, and that's clearly something that's been a gap for radio up until now. Clearly, especially with E4, there was a desire to be targeting an audience that in the main has had music radio up until now, and Channel 4's hope was that they were going to be creating radio that was wider than that, comedy, speech, so areas that aren't overly served.
So it would
at the
have been really
time.
Quite exciting, then.
Very exciting. I mean, there's no doubt about it. In our office today, we're feeling a little bit down about this because it was an exciting opportunity, and as you said, especially from a creative perspective, there really was going to be something we felt that had the potential to sort of change radio.
What does it mean for digital radio, particularly DAB? I mean, is it all over, do you think, for DAB now, or will it struggle on?
I don't think I want to be the person who says it's all over, but I think it's a big blow, particularly because when you look at the way TV has succeeded in the digital landscape, a lot of that has been about launching successful new channels, and E4 clearly was a very strong brand that would have come into that space.
And I guess E4 Radio and the other stations that were being developed would have been quite a shot in the arm for the independent radio production sector, and that's now not going to happen.
No doubt about it. Bob Shannon had been very open in saying that a significant amount of their airtime was going to be commissioned with independents. I think he was looking to establish a different kind of radio station, more along the lines of the way Channel 4 operates in terms of TV, for the radio station to be a publisher, in effect. And so, without doubt, this is an opportunity that's sadly not going to happen now.
So, will we see cutbacks in the independent production sector, job losses?
Not at something else you won't.
All right.
I can't speak for anyone else, but for us, no. We've got a wide enough range of clients that we're not reliant on this.
So what do you see as the future then? If digital radio is not going to develop in DAB digital radio, is not going to develop in the way we expected, are there other areas, internet radio, I don't know, other areas where audio and music and speech and all the other things that might have gone on DAB might flourish elsewhere?
Yes, I think there are. The internet, without doubt, I mean, certainly from our perspective, it's something else. We've already seen that the past probably 12 to 24 months. A lot of internet radio-related opportunities happening, especially with brands.
Because it's cheaper, isn't it?
It's cheaper. It's Ofcom void as well.
It's Ofcom free, no regulation.
Ofcom free. Haven't got the worries about Ofcom. And so certainly from a brand perspective, that creates a great opportunity. And also, it's a key area, obviously, for reaching that youth demographic that E4 were going to go after as well.
Steve Ackerman there. So where now for digital radio? John, you're the expert. What happens next, technically?
Well, what happens next is that the remaining shareholders for digital radio, which Channel 4 has now exited stage left, get together and decide whether they're going to find a new partner.
Crisis talks.
Crunch talks. Okay. Certainly with, and they're going to decide, will we get a new partner? Will we take on the 55% shareholding ourselves? or do we go back to Ofcom and Digital One and entirely lose the second multiplex altogether, which I think is probably more likely. But certainly Ofcom are going to be as keen as anyone to get a resolution to this, because as we've just said, it makes the whole idea of launching a second multiplex pie in the sky.
And Tony Moretta was saying that the DRDB are going to launch this campaign over Christmas and in the run-up to Christmas for people to buy digital radios. But if I was a potential consumer, I'd be very wary about investing in a Christmas present for Granny.
Well, I come back to a Barney I've had repeatedly with the much-valued Paul Robinson in this very room about digital radio full stop, which is the cost involved, the millions and millions of pounds involved in setting up, another transmitter, but also rolling out sets to people for something which is already, as far as I can see, as a consumer, been overtaken by the iPlayer. But as soon as the iPlayer started streaming radio so that you can listen live or go back and listen again or have a reasonable sort of portable service, then digital radio starts to look a bit mad.
And that's where the future starts to look interesting, around that sort of iPlayer on demand. You know, if commercial radio's got any sense, that's where they should be heading. They should be setting up an iPlayer for commercial radio, shouldn't they?
Well, this is it is effectively the kangaroo option, except that what you would be anxious for commercial radio to learn from kangaroo is, don't start another one. Don't start another one. Lobby the government, get the BBC to make the software open access so that you can use the one that exists. Make a home for digital radio online, which is the iPlayer, which hosts everything, is easy for people to use and they know how to use it, and you will increase listening. That's the only thing you can do at the moment.
Well, what is the BBC strategy going to be, I wonder, Janine? Because their great champion of digital radio, Jenny Abramsky, has now left, and the guy that's now running BBC Radio is a marketing man. He's going to surely be much more savvy. They've been strangely silent at the point of recording, not heard from the BBC yet. Do you think they'll change their strategy as a result of this?
Well, it's very hard to sell digital radio sets off the back of the BBC's offering in digital. I mean, there is a very good argument for the devoted fans of Radio 4 and Radio 5 to listen digitally because of the better sound quality, and you don't sort of...
That's questionable, you know.
Well, but it's a small segment. Of,
Five Live is the only thing that sounds better.
It's a small segment of an audience. And, well, there are bits of Radio 4 that go long wave, which is a nightmare. If you're listening to it, apparently if you're a cricket fan, it's much better. But, you know, this is a relatively... That's a quite hard marketing.
It's not great if you're a Radio 3 classical music fan when the bit rate is a lot less, isn't it?
In super mono sound in a lot of digital sets, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the pressure is on Ofcom there to keep this keep this platform going, because there are seven, I think just under 8 million sets now have been sold, and that's a lot of
lot of disappointed customers if the platform does go down.
Yeah, and I think they'll probably be looking to Ofcom for answers.
All right, thanks very much for that. Lots more on this at mediaguardian.co.uk. Maggie Brown is on the case for Monday's print edition of Media Guardian, so expect further revelations. Thanks to Janine Gibson and John Plunkett. The producer of this edition was Francesca Panetta. I'm Matt Wells. Goodbye.